to Intimate Spaces. I'm Alicia Griffin.
And I'm Devin Nance.
And we're back. I said that already.
Yeah, you always say that.
Well, we are back, though. We actually are back, like, because it's been a minute. I'm trying to remember. It was, like, before New Year's.
December 29th.
Literally exactly. Before New Year's.
Literally. But it's been, I don't know what day it is today.
It's January 11th.
Today is January 11th. Thank you, Ghost.
You're welcome. Boo.
He is not a ghost.
The ball hit a ghost.
Oh.
Casper was.
I'm gonna eat your nom nom.
Whoa! Back up off my nom noms.
I don't like how any of this is progressing. Not okay, so what are we talking about?
Okay, so we are almost on National Fetish Day. If you don't know what that is, it's a holiday. It's an observance, I guess. Not every observance is a holiday. But January 15th is National Fetish Day. So this is a day where folks can celebrate the non-vanilla aspects of their lives.
It's MLK Day.
No.
What?
That's not MLK Day.
No.
No, that is actually Martin Luther King's actual birthday, yes.
Yeah, that is his birthday.
But MLK Day is the Monday after his birthday.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's the 17th this year. Hmm.
So, you know, National Fetish Day.
I had a dream that I had a bitch on the cross.
That was sacrilegious.
We are going to get haunted by MLK.
Jesus, apparently, everybody.
We're about to get smoked. I'm upset. Anyway, if you remember from last season, we defined kinks and fetishes and went through some common ones.
Yeah, so we talked about foot fetish. That's the most common.
Yeah.
Talking about hand fetish, the least common.
Yeah.
And then we talked about like other BDSM, like types of kinks and fetishes, like pet play, impact play, all those sort of things. So if you don't remember that episode, we're not going to go through it again.
No.
Go find it.
Because we made an episode about it, and you can go listen to it.
Exactly. It's still there.
It is. Yeah.
Take a gander.
Take a listen.
Yep, whatever. I can't think of another one.
you burned yourself out on Gander.
Gander was hard.
But I'm proud of you because you said Gander and there was no hesitation. Like you
man,
like,
not even a stutter.
Take a Gander. And a goose. Okay, now, we all know that fetishes and kinks stem from the BDSM community, and that stems from gay leather culture around World War II.
Yes. So, well, most of the time when we discuss gay leather culture, we talk about it in the past. But it is still alive and well today.
We actually brought someone on the show who is very knowledgeable and a proud member of the community.
So we're going to introduce him, and then when we come back, we're going to ask him a bunch of questions. But really quick, so Boy Derek, and I'm going to be sure I'm saying this right, Boy Mayora, yes. Onyx. Ah, there we go. Okay, so he has been in the leather community for 3 years now. As a transgender leather service boy, he really values educating the community and being a part of inclusivity and diversity that the leather community strives to achieve. He is the current reigning Kentucky Leather Pride Leather Boy 2020-2022. So this is like royalty in the building, okay?
Yes.
His platforms include racial equity within the leather community, transgender visibility within the leather community, and mental health services for those within the leather community without stigma. He hopes to continue to teach classes that promote safe, inclusive, and diverse knowledge for the participant. He values promoting safe sex practices and works in his vanilla life as an HIV prevention specialist. He identifies as pansexual and polyamorous, and he believes in communication and transparency in everything he does and strives to be a leather boy for the community and show his service through his commitments and behaviors within the community. So yeah, so he's going to tell you all about that.
Yes.
When we get him come back, it's going to be a whole thing. It's going to be great.
Yes.
We're going to have to take a break right now.
We are. So we'll be back.
Hey y'all, this is Devin Nance. You may know me as the co-host of Intimate Spaces Beyond the Blog, but I'm here to tell you all about my podcast, This Black Girl, a weekly podcast all about topics from the perspective of, you guessed it, this black girl. Like I said, join me on a weekly basis wherever you listen to podcasts, and let's just have a conversation. Let's talk about any and everything and its impact on me from the perspective of, one more time, This Black Girl. And don't forget to subscribe for weekly notifications about new episodes. Rate and review. Leave a comment. Leave your feedback. Love to hear from you. And let's just have some fun. So once again, tune in to This Black Girl, a weekly podcast all about topics from the perspective of this Black girl. Trust me, she has a lot to say. Bye, y'all.
Hi, this is Malisha Griffin from Intimate Spaces Beyond the Blog. But you knew that already because you're listening to it. But what you didn't know is that I am also a published poet. If you go to Amazon.com right now, you can check out both my collections of poetry. The first one is The Second Decade, Tales of an Adult-like Woman, and the second one is Where is the Yellow Butterfly? So be sure to go and check them out. Bye!
And we're back.
All right, so like I said, we have Boy Derek here, and we just have a couple questions that we're going to ask him.
And we're really excited. Sorry, I was threatened. I had to make sure he didn't kill me right there. I had a blast by behind me. Mm-mm. All right, so welcome. Thanks for coming.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Okay, so how were you introduced to the leather community?
So I was introduced to the leather community, as all great leather people are, through the amazing Grindr. Grindr, I met a guy on Grindr and he was my previous sir. So we were in a dynamic and he introduced me into the leather space, brought me up in the community and really kind of trained me to be the service boy I am today.
Cool.
For those of you who don't know what Grindr is a dating app.
Dating is...
Yeah, no, all of them are loose, okay? They all say dating apps, but let's be honest.
I'm about to say it's generally...
Not even just Grindr. We can go to Plenty of Fish, Tinder, and...
Yeah, I'm about to say it's generally described as a dating app.
It's app, but really it's like, let's go, let's just get her done.
Yeah.
Just in Plenty of Fish, that is successful. It's a disgrace.
I mean, I've seen some stuff on Grindr. Like, I'm not on Grindr, but I know people who are on sales. Like, okay.
Ooh, you... Mm-hmm.
Straight to
them.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Doctor,
straight to it.
Just hi, and then,
oh,
okay.
I did have a coworker meet the love of his life on Grindr, though.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
They live together now and all that good stuff.
That's unheard of. They need to be an ad for Grindr.
I'm about to say, they need to be Grindr ambassadors.
They do.
They just came back from,
Is that the one that travels all the time?
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Yes.
Yes, they need to be on a social media video somewhere. That's adorable. I'm about to cry. Not really. But that's beautiful.
They was in Brazil, they was in Puerto Rico. Doing it. Anyway. This is not a grind ad.
No.
So back to you. So what would you say to people who are interested in exploring leather play? Like in the leather community?
I would say to
Sorry.
Get in where you fit in, if that makes sense. So the leather community is really large, and you can make it a big part of your life or a small part of your life. It can be something you just do on the weekends with your friends, or it can be a lifestyle. It all depends on what you want from the community. I chose to make it a lifestyle because it's something that I really click with. I love leather. I love the people in the community that I've made in this space. So I think that it's really beneficial to kind of, before entering into this space, to really evaluate how big of this do you want in your life. So how big of this journey is going to be a part of your life, because it does something when you stop being vanilla, as we like to say, and you venture over into the kink community and you venture over into the leather community. It can shake up your life a little bit, so you got to be prepared for that.
Okay, so what's been your most interesting experience being a part of the leather community?
Wow. I would have to say any and every time I go on a leather trip or something. So we'll have different, we have different events. So the next event that I have coming up is North American Bear, which is a bear conference. But a lot of leather people come to this bear conference, and it's just, it's like a big family reunion, seeing people you have not seen in a very long time, or seeing people that you have only met online, and you're like, oh God, you have seen everything on my Facebook and or my Twitter, and I have never met you before, but hi, nice to meet you. I definitely love those experiences because it's where you see the most diverse part of our community. I think that that's probably my favorite part about venturing into this lifestyle and things that I do in this lifestyle.
For the listeners, this is not one of the questions, but you said something, so I want to be sure, because, you know, this is a sex ed podcast. So for those who may not know, can you describe the term bear?
Oh, so a bear is a big, burly man. Like, they're usually hairy, they're usually 250 plus. And there are bear conferences where a bunch of big burly men get together and have parties and have kinky orgies and just do whatever and have pool parties. And then after like the third day, you're like, I am not getting in that pool because that pool water looks suspect. But the first day is okay.
I mean, fair.
But no, it's a lot of fun. So, and I would like to say that not all kink experiences, as far as like conferences or anything, although it says it's a bear conference, like there are women there, there are femme identified people, there are different classes there. So in February at North American Bear, I'll be teaching a class called Vaginal Sex for Gay Men, and it's a class introducing gay men to the vagina, because a lot of them are interested in like hooking up with trans people, but they don't necessarily know the trans anatomy. So we're gonna have a full-blown conversation about the vagina, which I think is gonna be hilarious, because most of the gay men that I know who are interested in this class have said things like, I haven't seen a vagina since I was born, so this is going to be interesting. So I think that these kind of experiences make it really beneficial to like go to a conference or something like that. So I would also recommend that to anyone who was new to this experience, trying to get out and go to events.
Okay, that's interesting.
That is.
I want to build, like, I'm trying to sit in a class. I know what a vagina looks like. I got one, but but I would like to see, just to be a fly on the wall.
I know, I'm about to say reactions.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be hilarious. I'm excited. And generally speaking, it's like gay white cisgender men. So it's going to be very much like,
oh my goodness,
you want me to do what? Like, and it's gonna be an interactive class, so people will actually see a vagina.
I'm about to say, please tell me you have that little the little plush vagina.
The little plush vagina.
The one that lady had.
Oh my goodness.
And you over there, this
looks like a puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I had one of those. I looked and I've not
say,
been able to find one, but
be
that
perfect.
Would be perfect.
Yeah, perfect. It's a little aggressive because it's like, dang, that's big. But, like, it gets your point across.
True. Okay, so, my question was kind of a little confusing, but how are the leather community and the larger BDSM scene connected, like, to you? Like, are they similar, different?
Oh, they're very similar. I consider leather a part of the BDSM community as a large. So when you get into the BDSM community, there's different kinks and fetishes that you may have. And the leather people, that's a part of the kinks or the fetishes that they may have, mm-hmm. whether that be the ensemble, like the clothing or the harnesses, or just sometimes the smell. I know people who are like, and find the smell of leather to be the most intoxicating smell. Mm-hmm. So it's, for me, it's all connected. I think it's definitely a huge part of the BDSM community as a whole, leather is just one component that you can get involved in.
What is it like being a person of color in this community?
I think that changes based upon where you're at. So we gotta be honest, we're in Louisville, Kentucky. There's not many Black people, let alone Black kinky people. Like, when you think of it that way, it becomes kind of isolating when you go to events, and like North American Bear is in Lexington, Kentucky. So it's even smaller than Louisville, mm-hmm. but you'll see maybe, I want to say like 5 to 6% African American people at these larger events. So it's not as diverse as I would like for it to be, but it's getting there with organizations like Onyx. Like, I am a member of Onyx. Onyx is a Black organization. It's a Black kink fraternity. And it's, and our presence is being more populated in the community. So we're coming out to things more. Plus, we also got to remember it's COVID. So it's really changed the dynamics of how these events look and how they're operated and how people are coming and attending them, especially with like larger events. You have to have a COVID vaccination. Well, we know the African American community has largely been suspect of the COVID vaccination right now. So there's a sense of disconnect there. But for me personally, I think that it's been an interesting run as far as like my title year has gone, because everyone that's in my title family, there's not one cisgender white individual. So we're all either trans or people of color, which I think is beautiful for our title family, and it's beautiful for what's Kentucky is putting out.
Yeah.
So for Kentucky to have 5 current reigning leather people and none of them to be white cisgender men, that's saying something, because that's usually only done in like California or Atlanta or right. New York. So for me, it's been a rewarding experience, definitely.
Also, again, because I think that this is such a new topic for a lot of people. So you said your family.
Yes, so my title family. So when you run for a title, there's different categories you can go into. I'm the current reigning leather boy of Kentucky Leather Pride, but we also have a Miss Kentucky Leather Pride, who is Monet Magnolia. We have a Kentucky Leather Pride handler, who is Chris, and he is in charge of like our pup community. We have a Kentucky Leather pup, which is Caleb, and he is the pup of our community. And then we also have a Kentucky Leather person of the leather, which is a person who doesn't identify as either female or male. They are non-binary, but they are still a huge part of the community. Not even gonna try it tonight. I'm tired.
Okay. I'm learning so much.
I'm about to say, I'm so interested. Like, exciting. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then pup.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, so our Kentucky Leather Pup is just someone who identifies as a puppy. That's their fetish. They have a pup hood. I am not a pup, so I try not to speak on it as much as I could, okay. because I don't identify as a pup. And I know that that gets really frustrating for pups when they're like, why do they keep asking people who are not puppies to describe what it is?
Fair.
But I do know that it is the personification of being a pup. Like, that is their
Okay, game. So it's kind of like a pet play situation.
Yes, it's exactly a pet play situation.
I'm in a pet place. I know what that is.
I don't know why you're telling me that.
Sometimes I want to be a cat.
I know.
But
I'm aware. If you look me dead in my eyes and said that, I'm like,
we're going to be a cat today?
Who's we?
Oh my God, for Christmas. Just random.
I know.
Amber,
yeah.
You all hear sometimes because we're in our house. Like, for Christmas, bought me a cat toboggan. It was so great.
It's because I love you and I know
you. I have cat ears on my toboggan. Anybody gonna be able to tell me nothing? You be meowing all over the place. That sounds inappropriate.
Yes.
Anyway, let's go back to the interview before I say something else.
Or the cat ears fit.
So you're talking about how you turned the Leather Community into a lifestyle, and so how have these identities and interests impacted like your vanilla life?
I think they could have impacted my life a lot worse if I wasn't in a sex positive field. So being an HIV prevention specialist and like working for my boss, she really uplifts my ability to really connect with this community. So my niche is LGBTQ individuals. That's who I normally test. That's the events that I run. And she always lets me go out on a limb when it comes to my community. So if I want to do a leather event, we're testing at a leather event. And so it's really beneficial to be able to have that freedom. As far as like my family and friends goes, all of my friends are kinky people, so they are very much just like, oh, okay, whatever floats your boat, not gonna yuck your yum. But I think the funniest part of my journey has been my dad has been really supportive, and like, I don't think he understands exactly what I do in the leather community, but he's in a motorcycle gang, so he understands like that part of leather culture, mm-hmm. but not like the kinky BDSM part of leather culture. Okay. So like when I won my title, my dad was on all of my pictures like, congrats, good job, son. And I was like, do you know what I just won? And he was like, no idea whatsoever, but you got on leather and it looks cool. So that's how it's kind of like cross-faded into my vanilla world a little bit with my family and just my friends. But everyone has always considered me, as I've been in this community for such a long time now, it's been really beneficial for people to listen to me in my vanilla life about my expertise when it comes to kink and leather lifestyle. So it's been really fun to kind of have them cross contaminate a little bit.
Yay. Can we also talk about how cute it is, like parent support? They don't understand it.
No idea.
But they be like, that's my baby.
My mom is always sharing stuff about my stuff. And I'm like, lady, do you know that I sit on the good Lord's internet and talk about fucking on the regular?
No, she doesn't care.
She's like, yes, you go ahead. You do that.
That's my daughter.
I will.
That's my baby. Like,
parent support. Do just that.
Parent support is so adorable. Like, that's my baby. I don't know what that means, but that's my baby. Because that's my dad, dude. I'd be like, yeah, I did this thing for work. He's like, I don't know what the fuck you just said, but go, David. I'd be like, thanks, Dad. I'm going to just go up here. Love you, too. He's like, I don't know what the fuck that means, but thank you. What's that? Get out.
That's the greatest stuff. But you know, that really says something about parents.
Yeah.
You got some really supportive ones. And some other ones would be like, what?
Would
be ready to dash you on some holy water or something. So, you know.
Just splash it like you did. Calm down. One more time. So, tell us about your experience as the reigning Kentucky Leather Pride Leather Boy. Like, that's super interesting.
Well, my experience has been a COVID existence because I won my title in March of 2020.
Wow, right at the beginning.
Literally the week before we shut down.
It was like, yay, and then it was like, shut it down. It was like, yes, let's do this.
I'm about to turn up in the community, get some awesome stuff going. And then they were like, just kidding, you're gonna sit at home and look at your sash and your patch and never wear it because you have nowhere to wear it to
because everything is closed.
Yes, but now that things are opening back up a little bit, I recently just judged Cincinnati Leather Weekend a couple of months ago, which was really beneficial and really cool to kind of sit on the other end of the table and take it in and really be able to pick out someone that I felt was a really good candidate for Cincinnati Leather. And, you know, I'm just waiting. Like, I can get this right after 2 years. I'm waiting for the next person to come in line and for me to be able to move on to another stage of competition and let someone else be Kentucky Leather Pride Boy, because it's been 2 years now. Like, it's been great, but who wants the sash next?
Passing the torch or the sash.
Wow, that's cool that you got to, like, experience, like,
it is,
you
but
judge for someone else.
It's wild.
At the same time, it sucks though. Yeah, because it's like
it's wild that I didn't connect that. Because it's like, how was your experience? It shut down. Oh, right.
COVID
just did a whole number on it.
Corona Denise ran through.
All right. So you kind of already answered this, but if you want to like get more specific, so what are some of the benefits of being a part of this community?
I think the largest benefit that I have found in the leather community has been anyone can be a leather person. So outside of your race, your gender identity, any of those things, like it boils down to your love and your commitment to service, especially as a leather boy. That's something I really, really pride myself in, being a service boy for the community and really impacting the community has been really beneficial for me. I definitely think that being a part of this community has helped me love and accept my body more. As a bigger trans man, they're rarely seen in like pop culture or anything. Like, the only time I see trans men are trans men that look like cisgender passing men. I don't really see bigger trans men in the community or out there. And I learned through this journey that if you don't see it, become it. So I've kind of become that face of like, this is what an average trans body looks like. This is what a trans bear looks like. This is what a trans leather boy looks like. So I definitely think that that's been a really amazing part of this experience and this journey, because I have always been accepted. And when I'm not accepted, there's enough people who accept me who are ready to go to arms and go to bats and be like, it's gonna go down. And I'm like, no, it's not that serious. Let ignorant people be ignorant. But yeah, that's been the best part, the biggest benefit of this community for me.
I like that. Okay, so what are some first impressions or like negative stereotypes you've encountered being a part of the leather community?
I think the biggest one that I've encountered has been there's such a huge disconnection between being a Black man in leather. Like, a lot of times this whole journey has been a white cisgender gay man's world, and we've just kind of been maneuvering through it. But being a member of Onyx has really shown me hundreds of other leather men of color and leather women of color and leather people of color. That has really been beneficial, because it's really been able to say like, hey, no, we're here and we're just as kinky as anyone else. We're just not as uplifted as other people in this community. So I definitely think that that's been one of the biggest like misconceptions and negative stereotypes about the leather community. I think another one is that we're all about sex, which leather is so much more than sex for me, and kink and fetishes are so much more than sex for me sometimes. I think you can be a part of a scene and be intimate with someone without any formal understanding of like sexual intimacy. So I say that to say that like you can have an impact play scene with someone and not have to have sex or give them a blowjob or see any kind of nakedness. It could be completely sexual experience without sex. So I definitely think that that's really something that I try to uplift about this community, that it's more than just, oh, you guys are having sex in a orgy somewhere in a room. And I'm like, I mean, maybe, but we're also educating each other. We're also helping out the community. We're also doing toy drives. We're also marching in pride parades. We're doing a whole lot of things that's more than just sex.
Okay. And I think that's a good segue, because I think it's really important to remember why intimate spaces exist. And so we know that the main point is this is an adult pleasure focused sex ed organization, but the second part of that is that we want to decolonize ideas of sexuality and spirituality for Black and Brown communities. And part of that is to understand, is to expand our knowledge of what it means to be intimate and be sexual with someone. And it doesn't always mean vaginal penetration or penile penetration or oral sex. It doesn't always mean that someone is going inside someone else. So there's a varying ways to think about being sexual with someone, being sensual with someone, being intimate with someone. And you just like hit that right on the head without even half of me having to explain it to the spaces was at all. And I just love that.
Yeah.
So living experience right there.
Yeah.
Of decolonizing our sex lives. Okay, well, that is all the questions we have for you. Do you want to tell the people if they can follow you on Twitter? Can they follow you on Facebook? Do you have a page or something or other?
Yeah, I have a Facebook, Boy Miura Onyx. You can find me on there. I have a Twitter, but I can't remember what it is, y'all. I only use it for porn, so
let's be honest. Twitter has the best porn.
It does, and that's the only reason I go to Twitter. Like, I have, like, 200 friend requests, and I'm like, I don't know any of you people, and you look like a Russian bot, and they probably are.
You look like a Russian bot.
Well, you know the...
I know exactly, I can see it.
She does be sharing a lot. It did be talking, it did Jesus.
But yeah. But okay, yeah. So we will be sure we will share your Facebook so that everybody can follow you. It was such, this was such a good conversation.
It was. Oh, yay. It was so interesting.
So before we wrap it up, because you know we gotta do some cleanup. Because we got lots of things happening in intimate spaces. So just three things I think I wanna bring up. Thing number one is that the third episode of Erotic Spaces is up on our Patreon. If you are not a patron of our Patreon, you should become a patron of our Patreon. There are 4 tier levels at $3, $5, $10, and $25. Okay? And you can see all the wonderful episodes, all the beautiful things that we've done. Yes, Patreon. Again, the link is on somebody's Instagram. And then
it's on your Instagram.
Period.
And intimate spaces.
No, it's not.
It's not.
I took it off for this reason. Number two. All right. And since if you know that Erotic Spaces, a series, is on our Patreon, Erotic Spaces Live is happening February 26th at Prism Pop on 4th Street in Louisville. If you're interested, early bird tickets are on sale right now on Eventbrite. They are $10. They will go up to $20. If you want to come, you want to buy your tickets ASAP. Okay? We're going to have lots of wonderful people. I featured all the people on Instagram and Facebook. Well, not all of them, but, you know, I'm slowly featuring them. But it's going to be good. We're going to have performers, vendors. I'm working on a food truck right now. It's mm-hmm. between two different food trucks. I'm trying to have them bid it out a little bit. Cash Bar, where we're going to have a signature drink that's complimentary. Everybody will get at least one for the free. Okay? So, it's going to be pink and beautiful. And there was a third thing. Oh, yeah, just follow us. If you ever want to know, I know that we've kind of been having a wacky schedule this season. Hasn't been as consistent, and I think that's just because Intimate Spaces is really doing a lot of other things, mm-hmm. just making it a little more difficult for us to devote so much time to the show, mm-hmm. but we are doing it. So just if you want to know when the next episodes are coming out, or just be sure that you're following us on Facebook, you're following us on Instagram, follow me and Devin, we're always sharing the stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, but that's all we got for you.
Yeah. Also, just to kind of sidebar off Erotic Spaces Live, we're gonna be, well, there in person. So yeah,
that's we will definitely be there in person.
Yeah. Hey y'all, our bad. We got cut off.
Yeah, we got cut off. That what Devin was saying though was accurate information.
It was. So
not only is Erotic Spaces Live happening, you're gonna get to see us
in person.
In person. And we're gonna be some hot mama jammas, okay?
Yeah.
My outfit's hot, sexy.
Hot to my lips.
And Devin's, I'm sure, is hot too.
I don't like how you said that.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Oh, I'm about to say, well, damn.
I saw the outfit I wanted.
I was about to say,
you didn't send me anything.
I haven't decided what I wanted to wear.
Okay, as I said, I'm sure it'll be hot, I'm sure.
I was about to say, if that shade...
First of all, if it was gonna be a mess, I would've been like, Devin, absolutely not.
First of all, when?
Exactly, I've never had to say that.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's fine.
So don't
Why
you
be
got
angry?
Me? I told them, I just got really offended. I was about to be like, you about to MC by yourself and dance by yourself.
Hey, that is a surprise.
They don't know what I'm talking about.
We gotta say bye. She's telling all the secrets.
I am not telling all the secrets. All right, anyway, y'all, we will see y'all next time. Same time, same place.
Yes, we actually have episodes coming up for the next couple weeks. It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be good. They're gonna be interesting. Some of them gonna be nasty. You too. Just come back. Come back.
All right. Bye.